This is the Blue Jays Talk, and the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It has been just a horrible run against these Yankees this year. The Blue Jays have been a disappointing team, to be sure, this season. But against everybody else, they've been basically okay. 1-8 against the New York Yankees. 0-7 here at Yankee Stadium. And this is against a Yankee team devastated by injury. The Blue Jays are pretty much the sole reason that the New York Yankees are in first place in the American League East this year. And when we look back at this season, one would expect things to get better for Toronto. We've seen them start to come out of it in games not against the New York Yankees. But unless things turn around against the Yanks in a big hurry, we're going to look back at the season series against New York as what killed the Blue Jays' hopes in 2013. They still have the opportunity to turn things around. There are still 119 games left to play this season. But to be this abysmal against a division opponent, and a division opponent that is so lacking in firepower, this is a tremendous disappointment. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We are taking your calls all across the Blue Jays radio network until the bottom of the hour, top of the hour in Newfoundland. And then we'll continue up till 5 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We get right to the phones. Chris is in Waterloo listening on 570 News. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. You're the leadoff man.
Thanks, Mike. I hate the Yankees. I don't know how they keep winning. I think that if they put Mickey Mantle's corpse out there in center field, he'd start hitting home runs.
It's certainly not beyond comprehension that that might happen.
What I wanted to ask you about is something that Blue Jays fans have been grumbling about for years, and that's the way the schedule's set up. And normally I think there's no point in bringing this up because, you know, baseball likes it and they're not going to change the unbalanced schedule. But there's been
right.
a couple of things in the last, you know, 2 years which have made me wonder if they'd reconsider. And one is, obviously, there's two wild card teams now. So, you know, divisional races are maybe not as important as they were. And the other thing is there's two teams in the league this year that are really trying to lose on purpose. And, of course, they're the Marlins and the Astros, and they're trading away all their assets for future considerations. And, I mean, it really is very glaringly obvious that's what they're trying to do, and it really advantages the teams, you know, that are in that division.
Yeah, the second part is definitely true. You would think that the AL West teams have a big advantage because they get to play the Astros 19 times. The teams in the National League East have a big advantage because they get to play the Miami Marlins 19 times, and that may well wind up playing out, and that's an interesting point, and it's not one that has been brought up here before, and I think that's more of a compelling reason to balance the schedule than the first, because I think with two wild cards, it's much more important now to win your division than it has ever been in the wild card
era. That is true, yes.
Right? Because you don't have to play that coin flip sudden death game. Whereas in the before last year, if you're the wild card, you're on even footing with the division winners. So, you know, that for me, that's a greater argument to try to balance the schedule. I think, honestly, and I've talked about this before, and Major League Baseball is never going to do it. They're never going to do what you're suggesting. They're never going to balance the schedule because they love these division races. They love that you play basically half your schedule against your own division. Were it up to me, I would eradicate the divisions entirely, balance the schedule, and have the top four teams in the league make the playoffs, or if they want, top three teams, and then you can have four and five have a one-game playoff for what would be a wild card spot. But But yeah, I would get rid of the divisions completely and just have everybody play everybody the same number of times and get rid of interleague play while you're at it. But you're either going to have to expand by two teams or fold two teams in order to have that happen. And I wouldn't mind folding the two Florida teams, I got to tell you.
Well, I mean, I can see why they wouldn't want to get rid of the divisions, because they certainly do create many more races during the summer for people to watch. But, I mean, you know, now there's really a good chance that our opponent for the last wild card spot might be from the Central or from the West, and you'll never get, you know, those matchups where there's two teams fighting for that wild card spot and they're going to play each other.
Well, not never, because there's an uneven number of teams in every division. So you're going to have some out-of-division series in September. And the Blue Jays, I think, even have an interleague series in September. They play the Diamondbacks first week of September, if I remember correctly. So you're still, you may see that occasionally still, but what it really comes down to in the overall is that it's just not fair. You're competing with teams for the same playoff spot, but those teams are playing a radically different schedule than you are. Whether it's easier or whether it's more difficult, it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
But they're never going to change it. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm trying. I can only do so much, but I'm trying. I am. I think it's wrong. I think Chris is absolutely right. But they're not going to change it. Blue Jays lose at 7-2 to the New York Yankees, a division rival against whom they are 1-8 this season. Carlos is in Richmond Hill. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, I think today's game is probably a microcosm of the whole season. I mean, if you look at certain things, Lind with batting with two guys on base, Bautista gets picked off, Lind ends up doubling twice in the game, and Carcion has a man on third, strikes out, hits a solo homer later in the game. We seem to be getting guys on base, and the hitters do seem to be coming around, but the lack of timely hitting has just killed this team.
Well, the last 2 days, yeah, and before that. But, I mean, when you say the hitters are starting to come around, part of the coming around has been scoring a whole bunch of runs and getting a lot of hits, getting a lot of very timely hits the last couple of weeks, right?
Right.
Until this weekend in New York.
The frustrating thing, and you hit the nail on the head, is the Yankees. It's Robinson, Cano, and a bunch of scrubs, really. Like Hafner, Overbay, Wells, these are really cast-offs from other teams.
Yeah, I prefer that to scrubs, but absolutely. Yeah, they are, and they're just pounding the crap out of the Blue Jays on a regular basis.
I had one, just bear with me, very unorthodox idea, but is there any, like, Melky Cabrera in left field seems to be a danger to himself. Like, I know his legs are hurting. We want to keep his bat in the lineup. Is there any way, I know Bautista has played third base before, but he's got the back. You don't want to put him there. Is there any way, because the ideal thing would be to get, like, a Moses Sierra or a Ghost in the lineup and take Isturiz or Bonifacio out somehow. Is there any way?
You can't do that. That's the thing, right? If you move, and Jack Morris and I were talking about this
right
during the game, if you want Melky to DH,
right,
the only way to do it,
you put Lind at first and you move Encarnacion to third.
Is to move Encarnacion at third, where he's played before and was perhaps the worst defensive third baseman ever.
He used to get booed at third, I remember, but I mean,
he was terrible. He really was.
You could have
Brett Laurie at second, right, and then you could have whoever in the outfield, whether you call up Ghost or Sierra. That's the only way to do it. You don't want to put Lind in left. He would do it, and he would be better than the current version of Melky Cabrera, but Adam Lind was still a below-average defensive outfielder at best.
My question is,
and Edwin played left once and hurt himself, so I don't think they're going to put him back out there.
How much of Encarnacion has improved immensely over the last couple of years at first? How much of that is just he's now improved as a fielder, period, and would therefore...
He never had any issues as a fielder. Never. He was always great at fielding the ball. Even when he played third base, just couldn't make the throw. And that hasn't changed. You know, the throw from third to first hasn't changed. So that was always his big problem.
Right. It feels like, and I don't mind being shut down by the Carotas or the Lesters of the world, but it feels like with the hitters lacking that timely hit, it'd be nice to get one more bat in the lineup, but you just can't do it with the fielders we have, right?
Well, the only way to do it is to put Edwin back at third. And I don't think any of us want to see Edwin Encarnacion back at third. And remember, too, that, you know, when he was there, it affected the bat. His play on defense affected what he did at the plate because he was just, you know, and if he's listening, I'm sorry, but he was embarrassing himself on a regular basis for a while.
Yeah, he used to get booed at third. I attend games all the time. I remember it wasn't pretty. I take it the Batista at third is never going to happen again.
No, I think that could happen again, but it doesn't solve the Melky problem.
Well, I mean, you could put Batista at third and move Laurie over, and then you can...
Over what? To second?
Yeah. You're right. Then, you're still Lindon and Carcion, one of them has to DH, you can't bring Sierra or Gossep.
Right. Doesn't help.
Tough situation.
It's unfortunate. It is. And Melky's playing through it, and he's still hitting really well. He was 1-for-4 with a double today. And credit to him, he's been their best hitter over a couple of weeks, which is why they can't take him out of the lineup. But really, the only way to get Melky Cabrera off the field and keep Adam Lins and Edwin Encarnacion's bat both in there is to have Edwin Encarnacion play third base.
I think Melky has been their best hitter for about 2 weeks. Even when he's getting out, he's hitting line drives right at people.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
But it's good to know you agree. Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate the call. The Blue Jays lose it 7-2 to the New York Yankees today. And, yeah, we would love to figure out a way to get Cabrera, Lindon, and Encarnacion all in the lineup at the same time with Melky the DH. There doesn't seem to be a reasonable way to do that. Although, it should be said that after Edwin Encarnacion moved off third in, I want to say the end of May of 2011, Bautista moved over there for a month or so until Brett Laurie came up. Edwin did have to go back to third a few more times, and he was fine. I just don't think the idea of making it a permanent thing is terribly wise. And I think Melky, to get everything better, would have to DH for a good long time. Carvin is in Ajax. Hello, Carvin.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm actually a native of Detroit, so I'm a Tiger guy. But
I'm
a permanent resident. I'm a permanent resident here in Ajax.
But, well, we're happy to have you, sort of.
No.
You got to get off the Tigers a little bit.
I love sports, Mike. I'm a music guy. I'm a five-time Grammy winner. My whole family's in music, right?
Spectacular.
But
that's
here,
five more than me.
Here, watching, you know, the Blue Jays, I wanted to get your opinion on the short winning streak that they were on. Do you think it was just that the Blue Jays, you know, were becoming a better team, or that the teams that they played were just playing poor baseball?
Well, certainly not the second one. I mean, they swept the San Francisco Giants and granted two games, and the Giants came in red hot. And first place, and they've won the World Series twice in 3 years. They did take 2 out of 3 from a Boston team that was struggling. The Red Sox had lost 8-10 when the Blue Jays came to town. And before that,
it was
where were they before Boston?
Tampa
they split with Tampa.
Tampa,
Tampa was starting to come out of it. Tampa had been playing pretty well. So, no, it would be nice if the Blue Jays would just really run into a bunch of teams when they're not going well, because it really does seem like the last few years, every team that the Blue Jays have run into has been playing especially well. We know that's not true. It's just the way it feels. But no, it wasn't that. It was just that they started to hit. And it was something that they hadn't been doing for the first 6 weeks of the season. they simply weren't hitting, or 5 weeks, and for those 10 games there, they hit. And they stopped making the silly mistakes that they've been making, and they got decently pitched ball games, and everything was going right. They were playing the way they were supposed to be playing.
Okay.
And since they have stopped.
Yeah. Well, the Yankees definitely seem to have their number, that's for sure.
That is for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you.
No, that's good, Mike. No problem.
All right, thanks for the call. The deal is the Blue Jays played really, really well for 10 games there. And they've played really, really poorly now for two. Well, they've hit really, really poorly. I mean, Mark Burley wasn't bad yesterday. He was down. He gave up two runs going into the seventh inning. There's not a thing wrong with that. Brandon Morrow gave up a Yankee Stadium special in the third. Other than that, all he gives up is a two-run homer by Cano. It's not a great start by any means, but not terrible. And if he'd been backed by any offense at all, it might have been a lot different. But the Blue Jays, after scoring 33 runs in three games, 34 runs in three games, have scored two in two. Hey, and they lost two in a row, so Thomas in Toronto calls. Thomas, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. This really, really has nothing to do with as frustrated as I am with this season, being the investments that I've made in this team, this my call is not really about that. You made a comment to two or three callers ago about the schedule. Now,
yep.
If I am Rogers Media and I'm Keith Pelley, why would I care about the schedule, given the fact that what drives this media company is content? Now, based on the schedule, the Yankees, the Red Sox, that's major content for these for this Rogers company. I don't think I would be complaining. Neither would I be complaining if I was Paul Beeston, given the fact that this stadium is packed with people coming over from Boston and New York. I wouldn't be complaining about the schedule. Fox's baby is the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. You see these games air all the time on Fox. I'm not complaining about the schedule if I'm a media company.
You know what? And that's originally why I think the Blue Jays wound up in the AL East. I've never gotten this confirmed. Never talked to Paul Beeston about it. And I don't know. All I know is the rumor. But the rumor is that when they split into six divisions, there was an opportunity for the Blue Jays to go into the AL Central to be paired up with Detroit and Kansas City, who were their old-time rivals, and they said no, they wanted to go in the AL East because they wanted the Yankees. The Red Sox were not as big a deal at the time, but the Yankees were becoming a big deal again, and the Orioles were a big deal, and that the Blue Jays wanted that extra revenue from having the extra home games against the Yankees and those other teams. And that's why they chose to go in the East and not the Central. And I don't know if that's true or not. And I don't know if Cleveland would have been the team to go to the East or Detroit. But probably it would have been Cleveland if the notion had been to keep Toronto and Detroit together. And that they wanted, you know, to be in the same time zone as every other team and not have all your road teams, road games starting at 8 and 8:30. But the rumor is the big deal was to be with the Yankees, and the rumor became the Yankees and Red Sox, which is weird because, again, Boston was not a big deal at the time.
If you look
but,
at the way,
but I think Thomas, if you look back, and you're right about content and about attendance at home against those games, but would not the attendance and the revenues have been much greater if the Blue Jays had wound up in the Central and in a playoff race 14 times in the last 20 years? and maybe in the playoffs six or seven of those seasons.
I think they're willing to put their money more on the entertainment value of the game. I mean, the Yankees provide this superb amount of entertainment given the amount of stars that they have on their teams, and as does Boston. And what I was going to say before is if you look at the way the AL East is structured, you're talking about three teams that have major media companies in Nesson, yes, and Sportsnet. So
yeah, but
I mean,
none of those were in place when the divisions were set up.
No, not absolutely not. But I guess as the entertainment and as the Yankees grew and as Boston grew, because these are teams that have major metropolitan areas, when those things grew, then that's where the money and the money the media began to generate a lot of money from their metropolitan areas, from the fans, from TV and stuff like that. So it makes perfect sense the way the divisions are aligned in terms of the way you can make money.
I'm not sure I get that last point. I don't know why the Blue Jays make more money because of the presence of Yes and Nesson.
Well, it's because they have a lot of areas that they can push their. They have a lot of pipes that they can push their content through, and the content that they're able to push through their pipes is very entertaining. And you're talking about Yankees and Boston being one of the most entertaining teams with a lot of revenue that can bring in the stars, which is probably what you want to go down to the Rogers Center and Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium to see. You definitely, they have the players that you can go down there to see, and it bodes well in this division for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Blue Jays don't care about the attendance at Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium because it's static anyway. They sell out most games. And I think that this point would be more important in previous seasons than it is now, when the AL East should be pretty even. But in years past, being in the American League East has cost the Blue Jays the opportunity to be in a playoff race probably a dozen times. And I think your revenues would be so much higher if you were a perennial playoff team than they are by the fact that, you know, you get to have 18 or 19 home games against the Yankees and Red Sox every year.
Not if you have a radio station and and other media properties pumping out the Blue Jays, and the fans, they go for that. They go for that. So if you can,
they go for the results on the field more.
Really?
Right? I mean, if the Blue Jays, oh, absolutely.
So
don't you think so?
You think if the Blue Jays lose this year, you think next year, or if they don't make the playoffs next year, you think the fans won't watch in 2014?
No, they will, but they would have watched a lot more if the Blue Jays had been a playoff team 12 times in the last 20 years, which they could have been if they were playing in the AL Central.
I think it's all predicated on what the Blue Jays do in the off season and how the media company promotes the Blue Jays.
I think that only lasts so long, Thomas. I appreciate the call. I appreciate not getting in an argument with you. That was swell of you. But I think that only lasts so long. And you're not giving the consumer a lot of credit. And maybe they don't deserve it, because a lot of people have complained to me about the media hype about this team in the off season, and it was, for my money, I think it was very well deserved. The Blue Jays should be a very, very good team this year. They're not right now, so far. But people have to be discerning, too, about the content that they ingest. And you can't blame the messenger for making you believe something. I can't make anybody believe anything. Lord knows I know that after doing this show for 12 years. You should be listening and thinking critically, and it's a skill, unfortunately, that's been lost over the course of the last, I don't know how many decades, by the audience at large, I believe. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall 7-2 to the New York Yankees. We're taking your phone calls on the Blue Jays Talk live from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Let's go to Brian and Barry, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? How are you, man?
I'm keeping on, keeping on, as it were.
I noticed that. I just think that if this team plays as a team, they'll do a lot better. There's a lot of guys being left on base. Nobody's even trying to bunt anybody over.
No, because outs are too precious for that.
Exactly. I just don't think they're playing as a team. Do you think this is a management issue? Oh, I don't know. Do you think Gibby has to go? I mean, I love the guy. I mean, I met him on the spring training this year, and I thought he was a swell guy. I just don't know. They're just not playing as a team. I think that that's the main issue.
I don't really understand what that means, though. I mean, baseball is a game, is a team game played by individuals.
Yeah.
Right? If bunting is your concern, then you and I aren't going to go very far.
But
how do you play as a team?
Bunting is not my concern.
Right, so what do they do to show you that they're playing as a team? I don't understand that whole concept.
I just think that not moving the runners over. You know, I think last night was a prime example. You know Corona is a very tough pitcher. You know he's giving you fits.
Yep.
You get a double in the first inning, and then you got a strikeout, and that was it. Done. Inning over. You know, pushing the guy over to at least push him out to the right side, get him over to third, sack fly, you won nothing. It's a different ballgame. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but then you're talking about trying to get out. Why don't? And you're talking about it like that's really easy to do, and I think a lot of people
think...
No,
I know it's not easy to do, Mike. I know it's not easy to do.
For me... It's not. You should never try to get out. You should never try to hit a ground ball to the right side to move a runner from second to third. You should be trying to get a hit every single time you're up at the bat, because that's the best way you can help your team.
Okay, I think I'll agree with you on that in a way. But if you watch 92-93 Jays, that's what they used to do all the time.
No, it's not. It's not. No, you think it was, but it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. The Blue Jays won in 1993 by bludgeoning the other team to death.
Yeah.
With a huge offense and scoring a whole bunch of runs. They won in 92 by pitching really well, having an incredible shutdown bullpen, and hitting enough.
Okay.
They weren't, Roberto Alomar didn't hit 300 by hitting a whole bunch of ground balls to the right side.
I agree with you on that one.
I was going to say
with the Yankees, I mean, they're a pickup team from this year. How are they doing so well? And We got a structured team that maybe one major injury, and we're doing so poorly.
Well, two major injuries if you count Josh Johnson, but it's crazy, and I don't understand it. I don't know why the Blue Jays haven't been able to put any kind of consistent anything together for more than that 10-game stretch that ended apparently on Wednesday. I can't explain it, but it's funny if you take out their games against each other this year. The Blue Jays are 16-18, and the Yankees are 19-16. So it's the 9 games that they've played against each other that have really made these teams what they are this season, and it's nuts to me. I have no idea why the Blue Jays have been so bad against the New York Yankees and so just okay against everybody else. Thank you for the call. We will continue to take your calls here on the Blue Jays Talk, but we're going to move off of the national network and onto our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, until 5 o'clock Eastern Time. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, then call, and we'll put you on hold, and then you can get on the program and stuff. Blue Jays fall 7-2 to the New York Yankees. It's a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. And that would be your final score, the third two-run homer of the ball game for the New York Yankees. Robinson Cano had the other two. And the Blue Jays are 0-6 here at Yankee Stadium this season. 1-8 against the Yankees overall with 10 games to go against the Bronx Bombers. The next one's tomorrow, R.A. Dickey against C.C. Sabathia. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk going to 5 o'clock Eastern Time here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Then there will be Gord Stellick and Rick Natras. Well, Saturday Night Hockey Central. But we're taking your Blue Jays phone calls right up until 5 at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell in long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to Rob in Burlington. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Rob.
Mr. Wilner, always a pleasure to talk to you. You know your baseball.
Thank you, sir.
I would simply like to say that I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, but I still think they're in it. I'm not worried yet. I'm a little concerned. The three games before they went into New York is the type of Blue Jays game that I'm looking to see for the rest of the year, where they were just piling on the runs.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect that, though, on a regular basis.
Well, I can hope.
But it's never happened ever anywhere with anybody.
Well, I'm aware of that. But the reality is I'm not giving up. I'm not jumping off any bandwagon because I've never been on a bandwagon. I think they're going to be okay. If they make the playoffs, I'll be surprised, but I'll be happy. And I'm looking forward to next year. That's where I'm at.
Okay, well, I hope you're looking forward to the next 119 games of this year. Because it's a little early to start thinking about next year. But I appreciate the call. And I'll say this about that. This season is a long way from over. But to suggest that right now the Blue Jays are in it is incorrect. They're not in anything. What they have to do is continue the long, slow climb back to 500. And I've said it a whole bunch of times, long, slow climb. And I use those words intentionally because, you know, there are going to be ups and downs on the way back to 500. They won 7 out of 10. Which was great, and now they've dropped two in a row and look bad doing it, and that's not great, but that's going to be part of it. It's not going to be a steady progression back to 500. They're 17-26 right now. The likelihood of them being 30-30 is minuscule, as is the likelihood of them being 40-40. It's going to take a while, and there will be drops along the way, like yesterday and today, but they're not in it. Right now, they're trying to get back in it. They're 10 games out of first place. And as far as the Kool-Aid, maybe it's me. I don't think there was any Kool-Aid. I don't think anybody with the Blue Jays said anything that wasn't true. This should be an excellent baseball team. It really should. They've played like crap for the most part this season. But nobody's sights were set too high. At least they shouldn't have been. There was nobody who was saying, expect this team to win the World Series. For my part, it was expect them to be in a race. And they should make the playoffs. That's not telling you to drink Kool-Aid. That's not setting you up for something that shouldn't be the case. This should be an excellent baseball team. Right now, it's anything but that. Let's go to Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia, listening on News 95.7. George, how you doing?
Mike, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. By the way, have you got a glass of Kool-Aid? You're just kidding. Mike, I've been a Blue Jay fan for as long as there's been Blue Jays, and Brett Laurie is disappointing to the point that he's not producing, and actually when he strikes out, he blurts, he just fills your living room with cuss words, and he did it again today, and I'm talking the four-letter F word, and you can hear it right through the whole system, comes right into your living room. He should be a little bit more professional than that. What's your viewpoint?
I think that's a lot to ask for. I think these are adults, these are grown men. They swear, and they swear a lot, and they use awful language, and they get very upset with themselves when they fail. As frustrated as fans get when they fail, these guys get even more frustrated, and asking them to hold back on the bad language, I think, is just asking a little too much.
Well, I still think he's, in a way, childish with some of his actions that
he's 22 years old.
I don't think he's a bona fide baseball player yet. He has a lot of talent. His defense sparkles, but I don't think he's his offense has not done anything yet for us.
Not this season, it hasn't.
No,
that's for sure.
Hasn't.
But I think you're a little harsh. He's not a bona fide baseball player. I'm not. He's not an all-star.
No,
I'll say that.
No, I agree with you.
But he's also 22 years old, so you can't expect him to either be a finished product or to be a grown-up.
Yeah, you got that right. Anyways, I just wanted to call in and talk about his harsh words that he says out loud. That does fill the living rooms of people all across Canada. All I want to say is, go Halifax Mooseheads. Maybe we'll have something to cheer about in Nova Scotia tonight.
There you go. All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, and I appreciate the Mooseheads shout-out. Look, profanity is a part of professional sports that's never going to change. Maybe the field mics are a little too strong. I don't know. We don't hear it up here, although you do hear it occasionally in spring training more than during the regular season because you're so much closer to the field. But that's life. Elise is in Woodbridge. Welcome. You know what, Elise? I'm going to put you back on hold, even though I can't wait to talk to you because we need to step away for a second. We'll take that phone call and more when we come back. One more segment. Some phone lines still open on the Blue Jays talk, but we've got a 20 update coming up for you, and we will continue. Blue Jays fall 7-2 to the Yankees. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Second two-run homer for Robinson Cano, the 12th, put him in the American League lead for a heartbeat. Since then, Mark Reynolds, Edwin Encarnacion, and Chris Davis have all caught him. And I'm pausing because I think maybe that was the Encarnacion home run that was just played. I'm not 100% sure. These things will happen. But I think that was the Cano homer. But regardless, Cano, Encarnacion, Mark Reynolds, and Chris Davis all hit their 12th home run of the season today, and Chris Davis is still going, his Baltimore Orioles leading the Tampa Bay Rays 4-0 in the bottom of the second as Roberto Hernandez gave up two of those rally-killing home runs in the bottom of the first inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-666-0590 is apparently a bridge is being built underneath us right here at Yankee Stadium. I don't know what they're doing down there. But they're bringing out patio furniture directly below us on the only metal floor. So enjoy the up-close and personal Yankee Stadium sounds here on the Blue Jays Talk. And let's get to Elise in Woodbridge. Thanks so much for holding, Elise. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. First off, I wanted to say that your myth or whatever it is about how the Blue Jays got into the East really does make sense. Because if you're a new franchise and you want to, you know, prove yourself, you want to go up against who's perceived to be the best, which would be the Yankees.
Yeah, but they weren't new at the time. Like, this was after the Blue Jays had already won two World Series.
Really?
Yeah, it happened in 94.
Well, I wanted to know now, what would it take for us to get out of the East?
They don't want to get out of the East. Paul Beeston has said it many, many times on the record. And I kind of admire that. It seems like, to me, and maybe I sound old, stodgy, and get off my lawn sort of with this. But it seems to me in the 21st century, people are less inclined to try to get better at a task than they are to try to make the task easier to accomplish. And I kind of feel like, don't make it easier, get better. And that's the way to improve. And so staying in the AL East is a thing. I mean, I think that you're up against some very, very good teams. It may no longer be the best division in all of professional sports, but it's still a very, very difficult division to win. And the way to win it is to be better, not to get out.
No, you make a great point. The other thing I wanted to ask, and I'm going to preface this by saying I know there's no answer, but to put it up for discussion.
Sure.
Everybody keeps saying they need to play together as a team. And
right.
I will admit that I have, you know, I have gotten that as well. But how do you explain, if there even is an explanation, a team like the Dominican Republic and the WBC, who they come together and gel so quickly, when you have people that really didn't play together, you have veterans, all these things that we're kind of using as crutches and excuses, how do you reconcile the two?
I think the answer to that's pretty easy, actually. Your point could be made for whichever team wins the World Baseball Classic in any given year, right? Somebody's got to win it. They're all thrown together at the last minute. Well, maybe not necessarily at the last minute, but they all have no time at all to gel as a team. Someone wins the tournament. The other 15 teams in the tournament didn't do what the Dominican Republic did, right?
Right, but some really good baseball was played, like by Italy and Canada a few times, the U.S. Like, you just seemed like they kind of clicked
Some
together.
Really bad baseball was played, too.
That's true.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it's a short tournament. It's nothing like this, and somebody's got to win. And whoever wins, just like whoever wins the World Series, great sonnets are written about how much they love each other, how they came together as a team, all the hard work and sacrifice, and everybody loves each other. More than well over 50% of the time, it's all completely made up. None of it's true, but it's still reported anyway because that's how you report on a championship team.
All right, very well then. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise. I appreciate the call. Miles is up next in St. Catharines. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi. What I'm interested in, like, basketball's a different game, but when LeBron and Bosch went to Miami, it was supposed to be a juggernaut. It was a coup, and they lost. And they ended up having to change the way they played. They had to add players. They have to do stuff. So I think if you look at the Blue Jays, they obviously got some really great players out of this that are going to stick. But it looks like the team might need some work, and that's what might make them gel. That it's not a coup. Just like, I mean, how could you have a bigger coup than getting LeBron? And in basketball, one player is way more important than any baseball player.
Absolutely.
And it still took time, and it still took more players. And it's possible that this is an evolution. You brought some guys in. There's some of the guys like Reyes are unbelievable. You hope he stays forever. And other guys disappointed. Some of them will improve. And it's a question of, as the manager, how does he work the situation? I mean, baseball's harder, I think, but I think that's the real question, that a coup rarely happens. Didn't happen in basketball. Tough to happen in baseball. Now the question is, what do you do? How do you move forward? What players are you keeping? Where's the problems? And I think that's the real issue. There's obviously problems, but there's obviously a lot more talent. They just got to work it.
Well, they have to play better. I think that's what it really all comes down to. Is very simple. They have
to
play better.
There might be pieces that have to be taken out that'll help other pieces play better. I mean, just as a guy,
I don't think that's not the way baseball works, though. I don't know that adding a different piece will make other pieces play better. You're talking about basketball, where
no, but you said there's trouble up the middle. That if they hit up the middle, the second baseman's not playing good defense. There's trouble with the center fielder. I'm
what?
Sure
I
that
said,
if they
I didn't
could
say any of that stuff.
No, I hear it on the radio. I
oh,
thought the,
okay.
the second base. I thought there's an issue with the second baseman that they're not playing defense well up the middle. Their pitching isn't start. Their pitching is not as strong as it should have been. The knuckleballer is off. So what I'm saying is there's things that are issues. Some of them you can assume maybe the knuckleballer is going to be hot in 3 weeks from now. They'll work themselves out, and others work. But that's where a general manager comes in, and he's got to make the hard calls. Because some of those things have to be replaced, and others, they just have to work themselves out.
I think, I see what you're saying, but I think that what it comes down to is that there aren't any perfect teams. There aren't any teams without holes. There aren't any teams without weak spots. And second base is a weak spot for the Blue Jays. And unfortunately, there's no, you know, nobody hanging out there wanting to trade a Jason Kipnis over here and or a Robinson Cano and give the Blue Jays a great young second baseman. And I don't know if the Blue Jays want this offseason to throw $200 million at Robinson Cano over 8 years and be paying him $25 million a season when he's 37, 38 years old and not producing anymore.
I wasn't trying to make a statement.
No, but I'm saying that
but this is the thing. Like this is the
no, there doesn't. There doesn't really have to be anything going on, Miles.
No, I meant
other
that
than
this team's not gluing. They're not
right.
gluing. Guys aren't stepping up. There's some issue. There's some issue within the team and the players that they're not stepping up.
No,
that,
it doesn't. It doesn't have to be that. It really doesn't. And again, I mean, that's a narrative that a lot of people fall into. It's a thing. It's a mentality that just doesn't work for baseball. It's not like one guy can carry a team on his back. Melky Cabrera has been hitting 400 over the last 2 weeks, and he can't carry this team. It's not like the effort's not there, though. You see Jose Bautista get picked off second base in the first inning, and you think, what is going through his head at that point in time? But
well,
what it is,
mistakes.
Exactly. What it is that as a group, no, pardon me, individually, up until the last couple of weeks, nobody was playing as well as he should have been playing. And again, and I've mentioned this before, baseball's not a game you can win by outworking another team, by wanting it more, by out-hustling another team, because there's no opportunity for you to take the ball away from them. Everybody gets their turn.
So ultimately, you feel that all the pieces are there. It's just got to move. They just got to start moving.
I think more than enough pieces are here. I think that there are flaws in this team, but certainly no more flaws than any other team. And they should be good enough to win. They just haven't put it together. They haven't played up to their capabilities, and it's as simple as that.
I mean, so to looking at hockey or basketball, and you change a few people, you change the chemistry of the team.
Right, but it doesn't mean as much in baseball.
No.
Because,
anyway,
again, effort, hustle, whatever, grinding. You can't grind out a win in baseball. You just can't.
Yeah, I guess everybody's got one at bat. Everybody's got to make the catch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
thank you, Miles.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
The call and the perspective. Thank you. Let's move on to John in Toronto. Hello, John.
Hi. First thing is they have got to stop trying to put the ball out of the park every...
Don't say every single time. Did we lose you? Well, we lost him on his first thing. They don't try to hit the ball out of the park every single time. They don't. J.P. Arencibia had a single to right center today. Jose Bautista hit through the shift a couple of times against Boston. They're not up there trying to hit home runs every single time. You have big swingers like Bautista and Encarnacion and J.P. Arencibia and Brett Lorre. They take big swings, and Colby Rasmus. But they understand they're not going to hit a home run in every at-bat. But they've been successful by swinging the bat really hard and making good hard contact. And that's what you're trying to do. Get a pitch and hit it hard. Nobody tries to hit a broken bat looper over second base. Those things just happen sometimes. But power hitters swing hard. Mike in Mississauga. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
I just had a quick question for you. I'm just wondering, how long do you keep the leash on Brett Lorre? Like, when do you make an adjustment if he's going to continue to bat 200 and play third base every day?
What sort of adjustment are you talking about?
You just keep plugging him in and putting him out there if he's going to, you would.
As long as he keeps playing third base the way he's playing third base, absolutely.
But
I mean, you saw what this team was like the first two weeks of the season when they had Meister Estures and Mark DeRosa playing third.
I did.
It was a horror show.
But at the end of the day, that's generally somewhere where you get power from. And right now, I don't know.
You can't worry about that. You can't worry about this is a power position and this isn't a power position. I mean, center field is not a traditional power position, and Colby Rasmus is probably going to hit about 25 home runs. You know, so catcher is generally not a power position. J.P. Arencibia is on pace to have 40 home runs, which is probably not going to do. But, you know, you're getting power in other spots. Brett Lorre can hit. We've seen him hit. He's not hitting right now, very obviously. But again, as long as he's playing defense like that, He can play for me anytime.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate it. And remember, too, he's 22. Things are going to get better. One hopes. Steve and Barry are going to wrap things up. Steve, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks, Mike. I wondered if it seems like the Jays don't have a certain style or style of play, or whether that's the manager or the organization, but I wonder if you think, is John Gibbons really the guy to match wits with Showalter and Girardi and Joe Maddon, the guys in their division?
Absolutely. And he may be the best tactician of the five of them.
Do you think then, you know what I mean, yesterday I was talking to a fan...
I would challenge any Blue Jays fan to pick out two tactical errors that John Gibbons has made in the first 43 games of the season.
Well, I was just thinking, I don't have a specific example.
Right, exactly, because there aren't any.
It just hit me. Last year when the Farrell stuff was happening, I thought, why didn't Alex be proactive and go get Terry Francona before the Indians grabbed him?
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking that as well. But you need to remember, too, that when Terry Francona went to Boston as a Red Sox for the first time, he was coming off a failure in his first go-round in Philadelphia, where
now
Philly fans
true.
Thought he was a terrible manager, right?
I know. But now he's a proven guy.
Well, or his teams are proven. And a manager's only as good as his players. The best thing a manager can do is put players in the right positions for them to have their best chance at success. And that's what John Gibbons has done. From that point on, it's up to the players, right? A manager can only do so much. But, yeah, I could not have more faith in John Gibbons as a tactician.
That's good to hear. I hope they can develop a style of play that works for them. You know,
I don't really know what that means, though. What's the Yankee style of play?
Well, the Yankees are very patient in their at-bats. They make the pitcher work hard, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but they've got that's their personnel, right? Those are I would love the Blue Jays to try to go after more players who work at bats and are patient and all that
stuff. Well, I think the Yankees have been that way since the Jeter era started in 96. They've developed that. I don't see the Jays going after that kind of a certain style.
Well, they certainly don't have it in guys like Lurie and Aaron Sebia, but they do in players like Bautista and Encarnacion, this year Adam Lind and what Adam Lind used to be, and Colby Rasmus sees a lot of pitches, and Bonifacio did going into this year. But yeah, it really does seem only to be the Red Sox and the Yankees and maybe the St. Louis Cardinals who will wear you out like that. That would be a wonderful identity for the Blue Jays to have. I would just take a lot of talent and a lot of wins, personally.
Yeah, and some identity.
And they've got
maybe
the
not
first
bad
part.
Identity, but some winning identity.
Winning
well,
is
I
an
hope
identity.
They all start to get hot at it soon.
That would be swell. They were.
I know.
They were. They scored 36 runs in the four games before they came in here and shot themselves in the foot at Yankee Stadium, stopped being able to hit. So it was coming. You can't snap your fingers and make it come and make it stay.
I know. I'm being a bit of a roller coaster fan, but that was so encouraging, and then you run into this dead end at Yankee Stadium. It's a downer.
It is, and nobody's saying it's not. Absolutely. And it sucks the way the last two games have played out. But got to remember, baby steps. Long, slow climb back to 500. That's what it's going to be. They're not going to be 30-30. The likelihood of them being 30-30 is really, really low. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Let's do this again tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for a 108 first pitch. R.A. Dickey against C.C. Sabathia. Thanks, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt, all of you for listening. We'll see you then.